ever clicked a button on a government website, maybe renewing something or accessing a service, and thought, okay, that was surprisingly straightforward.
Yeah, it happens sometimes.
But have you ever stopped to think about what's really going on behind the scenes? All the tech and policy that makes that click work.
That's exactly where we're headed in this deep dive. We're exploring, the world of e-governance,
Right.
and it's way more than just putting forms online. It's really a fundamental shift in how governments operate and how they connect with us, the public.
And that's what we've been digging into. We've looked at a whole range of sources stuff, from Espian Group, Semantic Scholar, Observer Research Foundation, Trust Community, the World Bank, PJLSS, and just some good background info on what e-governance actually is.
Yeah, a lot of material. And our mission here is really to boil all that down for you,
Okay.
to pull out the key insights, give you a clear picture of the pros, the cons, the trends, and what this digital shift actually means in the real world. Think of it as your crash course on e-governance.
All right, let's unpack that then. When we talk about e-governance, the big picture,
Yeah.
what are we actually talking about?
So basically, e-governance is about using information and communication technology, ICT, inside government operations.
Okay.
But it's strategic. It's not just having a website. It's the whole digital setup governments use to improve services, make their own processes more efficient, and connect better with citizens.
And the promises.
The core promise: better efficiency, more transparency, and making government stuff more accessible for everyone.
So it's not just one thing. I've heard different terms thrown around, like G2C.
Exactly. It's not monolithic. There are different models: government to citizen, G2C. That's mostly what we experience directly, like using online services.
Right.
Then there's G2B, government to business, which is about making things smoother for companies interacting with government.
Okay.
And G2G, government to government, which focuses on making different parts of the government work together better, sharing info and all that.
Got it. So it's the services we see, but also the internal plumbing that makes it work.
Precise.
And you can see how that would streamline things everywhere: health, education, finance.
Absolutely. Imagine getting your health records online easily, or applying for student aid through one portal, or doing all your taxes digitally.
Yeah, that's the dream.
E-governance aims for that kind of seamless experience, and hopefully it leads to better decisions inside government and, better services for you.
Okay, so the potential is clear. Let's dig into the specifics. What are the real upsides? The key advantages.
Well, one of the biggest ones is just better service delivery. Think about it. No more strict office hours or needing to go to a specific building necessarily.
Right.
You can often access services online anytime, anywhere. Applying for a license, filing taxes, it just becomes way more convenient. Less hassle.
That convenience factor is huge. What else?
Increased transparency is another major plus. E-gov platforms can give you real-time access to government information. Well, things like open data initiatives. The idea is to let you see, for example, how public money is being spent.
Okay, opening of books.
Exactly. But, the real insight here is that just putting the data out there isn't quite enough. It has to be in a format people can actually understand and use.
That's a good point. Raw data can be overwhelming. What about getting people more involved? Citizen engagement.
Yeah, that's another potential benefit. Interactive platforms like online forums or feedback portals, they let you voice concerns, share opinions on policies, maybe even participate in discussions.
Like crowdsourcing ideas.
Sort of. India's MyGov platform is a pretty good example of trying to create that direct line between citizens and government using tech.
So it gives people a voice
Yeah.
and maybe reaches more people too, like folks in remote areas.
That's the hope. E-governance can be more inclusive, reaching communities that are harder to serve through traditional means, using web and mobile tech.
Are there examples of that working?
Sure, things like India's Common Service Centers, the CSCs, or the PMGDASHA program, they're specifically designed to try and bridge that digital divide, bring services closer to people who might otherwise be left out.
Okay, so reaching more people. But what about the processes themselves? Does technology make things run better internally?
Oh, definitely. Streamlined processes, automation, that's a huge advantage. Often using things like AI and machine learning.
How does AI fit in?
Well, it can automate routine stuff like processing simple applications automatically. That frees up human workers for more complex issues, speeds things up, and probably reduces simple errors.
Less red tape, faster service. Sounds like that would save money too.
It certainly can. Digitization means potential cost savings. Less paper, less time spent on manual admin tasks, more efficient workflows overall.
Right.
And as a kind of side benefit, less paper is obviously better for the environment too. sustainability points.
Okay, the advantages seem pretty compelling, but like any big change, there must be hurdles, right? What are the big challenges or concerns with e-governance?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the biggest, most fundamental issues is still the digital divide.
Access, you mean?
Exactly. There's still a big gap in who has reliable internet access and the right devices. It's often worse in rural areas or lower-income communities.
So putting a service online doesn't help if people can't actually get online.
Precisely. It creates an immediate barrier for some people to even participate, let alone benefit.
What else creates barriers?
Digital literacy is another one. Even if you have access, you need the skills and comfort level to actually use these digital platforms effectively. Not everyone does.
Good point. And language.
Language barriers, definitely. If services and information aren't available in local languages, that excludes whole chunks of the population right there.
Okay, so access, skills, language. What about the security side of things? Handling all that sensitive data online.
Oh, that's a massive concern. Cybersecurity. As governments rely more on digital systems, they become bigger targets for hacking, data breaches, malware, you name it.
Yeah, you hear about breaches all the time.
So having really robust security measures, strong data protection policies, that's absolutely critical. Non-negotiable, really.
Makes sense. Protecting personal data is key.
Yeah.
What about the tech challenges within government itself, like old systems?
That's another big one. Integrating shiny new eGov solutions with often very old legacy systems, that can be incredibly difficult and expensive.
Like trying to plug a smartphone into a rotary phone.
Kind of, yeah. Getting different systems, maybe in different departments, to actually talk to each other smoothly. Interoperability, they call it. That's a major technical headache.
Right.
Think about trying to get, say, the health department system to share data securely with social services. If they were built decades apart, that's tough.
But it's not just the tech, right? It's people too.
Absolutely. Change management, getting government agencies and employees comfortable with and trained on new digital ways of working, that can face resistance. It's a cultural shift as much as a technical one.
And with all this data being collected, privacy must be a huge focus.
Paramount. You need strong policies, clear legal rules about how citizen data is handled, stored, used. People need to trust that their information is safe and won't be misused.
That trust seems crucial.
It is. And then there are the practical issues, like funding. Implementing and maintaining good e-governance isn't cheap. It needs ongoing investment, skilled people.
Okay, so a lot to navigate on the downside. Looking ahead then, what are the key trends shaping e-governance, say, right now in 2024?
Well, the overall trend of digital transformation in public services is just continuing, even accelerating, meaning more adoption of things like cloud computing for flexibility and storage, big data analytics to understand what's happening, and the Internet of Things, IoT, for collecting real-time data.
What about those buzzword technologies like AI and blockchain? Are they actually being used?
They're definitely playing a bigger role. AI is showing up in things like chatbots for citizen support, answering common questions 24/7.
Okay, freeing up human agents again.
Exactly. And blockchain is being explored for enhancing security and transparency. Think about things like digital IDs or tracking land ownership records in a way that's really hard to tamper with.
Like a super secure digital ledger.
Pretty much. It could make things like proving your identity or property ownership much more secure and transparent online.
Interesting. And how are we as citizens actually interacting with these services? Is that changing?
Yeah, there's a very clear shift towards user-friendly websites and mobile apps being the main way people access services.
Like we expect from any other online service.
Right. The goal is to make it intuitive, convenient, less like a bureaucratic process, more like using a modern app.
And the paperwork. Are we finally getting rid of it?
The trend is definitely towards paperless. More digital signatures, more cloud storage for documents. It streamlines things and, again, helps with sustainability.
And is government getting smarter about using all the data it collects?
That's another key trend. Data-driven decision-making.
Yeah.
Using analytics to understand citizen needs better, see how services are being used, spot problems.
So they can actually improve things based on evidence.
That's the idea. Making more informed policy choices, allocating resources better. We're also seeing more virtual assistants, those chatbots we mentioned, and even using IoT for smart infrastructure, managing traffic lights or utilities more efficiently.
These sound like pretty big shifts. Can you give us some real-world examples? Where is this happening effectively?
Sure. Estonia is often held up as a leader. Their X-Road platform is famous for letting different government parts and even businesses exchange data securely.
Oh.
Singapore has QuartPass, which is like a single digital ID for businesses to deal with the government online. India's DigiLocker lets you store and share official documents digitally, securely in the cloud.
I've heard of that one.
The UAE has a big smart government initiative aiming to make all services digital. And South Korea's Government 24 is a one-stop shop for tons of different government services online.
So lots of different approaches, but the direction is clear. Let's zoom in on one region, maybe India. What's the picture there? Progress, challenges?
Well, in the big Indian cities, places like Jakarta, Surabaya, Bandung, there's definitely been a big increase in digital public services.
So online access is growing in urban centers?
Yeah, quite a bit. A good chunk of administrative services are online now, which is definitely more convenient for city dwellers.
But as you mentioned earlier, the digital divide, is that still a major issue across India?
Oh, absolutely. That divide is still very real. Tech adoption is much lower once you get outside the major cities into suburban and rural areas.
So the infrastructure might be decent in the big cities, but not elsewhere.
Generally, yes. But even within cities, internet quality can vary, so access isn't perfectly equal even there. It creates these pockets of inequality.
Okay. Where things are working, are services actually getting better, faster, more responsive?
There's some evidence, yeah. The Public Service Performance Index suggests improvements in responsiveness and speed in the main cities.
And what do people using the services think?
Well, a survey done in Indonesia, which faces similar challenges, found pretty high agreement across the board. Government folks, civil servants, IT people, the public.
Agreement on what?
That digitalization does make administration easier and saves time. So there's a recognition of the benefits among users.
That's positive.
Yeah.
Did that same survey highlight the persistent problems?
It did. The usual suspects came up. Lack of good digital infrastructure, low digital literacy levels, patchy internet access. Those were the big ones.
Right.
Less commonly mentioned, but still there, were concerns about regulations not keeping up and some public distrust of the digital systems.
And that trust issue. What about data security specifically? How confident are people in India or similar places that their data is safe?
That survey showed an interesting gap. Government officials tended to be more confident about data security than the general public was.
Why does that gap matter?
Because the survey also found a link between how much people trust the data security and how satisfied they are with the digital services overall.
Makes total sense.
Yeah.
If you're worried your info isn't safe, you won't like using the service, or maybe won't use it at all.
Exactly. Trust is fundamental.
What did the survey participants see as the main opportunities, the big potential wins?
Transparency came up a lot. Also, efficiency in government, more chances for public participation, and potential cost savings. But transparency seemed to be valued most highly across all groups.
Okay, so looking ahead for India and places with similar contexts, what's the path forward? What needs to happen?
Well, number one is tackling that digital divide head on. That means serious, sustained investment in infrastructure to get reliable internet everywhere.
And the skills gap.
Right alongside it. Robust digital literacy programs like India's PMGD Asha are vital. You need to give people the skills and the confidence to actually use the tools.
So access and ability. Got it. What else?
Strengthening data security policies is crucial. And being much more transparent about how data is collected and used, that's key for building that public trust we talked about. And ongoing training, not just for citizens, but for government employees too. They need the skills to manage and deliver these services effectively. Capacity building is essential.
It really sounds like it's about much more than just buying new software.
Oh, completely. Real success requires a shift in culture within government. You need innovation, and critically, you need to put the citizen right at the center of everything.
User-centric design, basically.
Exactly, not just tech deployment. And finally, you need the right policies in place, an environment that supports this, and getting citizens actively involved in designing and improving these e-governance tools. That's how you build systems that actually make communities more resilient and inclusive.
Wow. This has been a really thorough deep dive. It's so clear that e-governance has this huge potential to, you know, transform how we interact with government.
Huge potential, yeah.
But also these really significant hurdles, access, literacy, security, trust, they all need careful handling. It really highlights how connected technology, policy, and just basic human engagement are in this whole space.
Absolutely. And thinking about how fast technology is moving, It kind of leaves you with a big question, doesn't it?
Which is?
What's the single most important thing governments should focus on right now to make sure e-governance truly benefits everyone and helps build a society that's more resilient, more equitable?
Mm-hmm.
It makes you think about that balance, you know, the balance between pushing forward with all the amazing new tech and making sure it's designed and implemented in a way that's truly centered on people, on all people. That's the future of digital governance we need to shape.